91.3 WLRN presents Topical Currents. Wouldn't it be sensible for regional colleges to tailor degree programs which reflect the employment needs of the area and are convenient for students? Today we'll focus on Broward College Online, which centers on career pathways in the Tri-County area. Good afternoon, Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. But there is a rub to online education. Without direct physical contact with teachers and such, it takes self-motivation, a serious commitment, and discipline. And obviously, some computer skills and equipment are necessary. We'll speak to a panel of educators about Broward College Online degree programs. We have an ideal team of experts to answer your questions about online education. That's next, First News. And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman on this rainy Wednesday afternoon.
This hour, we explore online higher education. There are obvious benefits to a virtual campus. Students can study at home, possibly holding down a job at the same time. And the programs are designed for students to gain employment.
We have three guests from the Broward College Online program to fill us in, as well as to take listener questions. You may have many. First, the campus president of Broward College Online, Dr. David Schulman. He's a native of Zimbabwe and a classical musician as well. Welcome to you, Dr. Schulman.
Thank you.
Also with us is Renee Law, the District Director of Career and Technical Education. She's a key in many aspects of Broward College Online. Thank you for being with us, Renee.
Thank you.
And also in the studio is Dr. Thomas Ayers. He's the Broward College Online Associate Dean of Business Administration and Information Technology. He has a long academic and administration career and is specialized in IT and cybersecurity.
Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for being with us. We'll call you David, but we'll start by Dr. Schulman. Okay. Thanks so much. You know, your personal history really is fascinating. Joe mentioned you're a native of Zimbabwe, you're a classical clarinetist. So tell us just a little bit about your journey from teaching incarcerated youth at Miami-Dade Detention Center, Juvenile Detention Center, earning a PhD in information science, and your appointment as campus president of Broward Online.
Sure.
I'm sure we don't have, do we have an hour?
The abbreviated version. Yeah. Please.
Okay, I'll give you the abbreviated version. I got into teaching through my wife, who is a master teacher, and wanted, when we lived in Arizona, to move up to the Hopi Indian Reservation and teach there. So I got a teaching certificate, moved up there with her, and had a absolutely fabulous year teaching sixth grade and was hooked on teaching at that point. We came to Miami, where my wife is a Miami native, and I started working with the Dade County school system, and I worked in the Juvenile Detention Center, which, if you're not aware of it, is a school within the detention center that makes sure that any kids that get picked up and held for trial have an opportunity to continue with their education. I had a background in IT, so it was, and in music, so it was fun. I not only taught math and English, but I was also able to do things like a little bit of computer programming and music program. But thanks again to my wife, who is the who steers me to all these wonderful things in my life. I ended up applying for a job at the district level with the school system as the district coordinator of instructional technology, and my key job there was to help get technology integrated into teaching and learning across Miami-Dade County Public Schools, and also the development of what was then the first instance of the Miami-Dade campus, I should say, of the school system, not of the college. I did that for several years, and then my wife showed me the Sunday paper and said, look at that job, you could do that. And it was a job as a district coordinator with Broward College, so I was very interested in what it offered and joined Broward College 14 years ago now. And pretty much what I've done since then is help use technology to improve learning outcomes and also develop the online presence for Broward College.
And Renee Law, tell us more about you.
I'm a Philadelphia native, and I've been in South Florida for about 13 years. I've been 8 years at Broward College. I worked on the non-credit side, so in courses that were offered to corporate clients that we may have had, or individuals that just wanted to go back to school to learn a language, to learn a technical skill, something like that, from a non-credit perspective, and then take that back to the workforce with them. And then I moved over to the Career and Technical Education Department about a year ago, and we oversee all of the 100-plus programs that are offered at the college outside of the Associate of Arts. So we handle the Associate of Science, Associate of Applied Science, technical certificates, post-secondary avocational certificates, et cetera, that the college offers.
And Dr. Ayers, Tom, okay, you had something of a stellar career yourself. Tell us a little about you.
Sure. I was born and raised in New Jersey. I did my bachelor's degree in computer science. I had done some work on Wall Street in banking operations. When I graduated, I came down to South Florida, had the wonderful opportunity to do some substitute teaching. Fell in love with teaching and have continued my career over 25 years in education. I had the opportunity in the early 90s to infuse certification training into formal education to support workforce education. And now that I find myself back at Broward College in the same field, I'm thrilled to expand that into the areas that we're going to talk about later today.
So let's talk about the growth of online college programs.
Sure. Well, this is a trend that's been going on for some time now, but has accelerated as the internet's improved, as people have gained more access to those kinds of technologies. And you'll probably find that in the majority of colleges and universities, the online program is the program with the strongest growth at the moment. What it does, particularly for the workforce we have these days, is it provides a great deal of flexibility. So, for example, at Broward College, we have primarily working adults married with children. Mm-hmm. So this is a perfect solution for somebody who really doesn't have the time to come at 9 o'clock in the morning and take a course and then maybe come back at 11 o'clock the next day and so on. So online learning is really becoming, if you can think back, and some of your listeners may be old enough to remember this, we used to have something called correspondence, where you would basically get books from a college, you would study, they would then take a proctored exam. What online learning does now is it gives you something very similar, but it's really that experience on steroids, because you not only have the flexibility in terms of location, but you also have a very rich multimedia, you have the social side of it, and a wonderful way to...
When you say the social side, what do you mean?
What I mean is that you're not locked away studying. You are engaged in discussions with other students. You have interactive experiences with your instructors. So this is a very live environment to learn in. It's not a static one where you're...
Really? How do you have interactive experiences with your professors?
Well, I'll give you an example of how many of our courses are structured. When you are dealing with particular topics and themes, there will most likely be a detailed discussion that is allied to that content. And in that discussion, students will have to give very detailed explanations of what the content is. They may have to respond to other students. They'll have the instructor or the professor also getting in there and adding content. So there is... there's no opportunity for somebody like me, who is the student who wants to hide in the back of the room and never raise my hand and never say anything and just go home. That doesn't exist online. All students are expected to participate. It becomes part of the grade. And for that reason, it is a very rich and robust experience.
So the student can't, in chat room terminology, just kind of lurk there and see what's going on.
So how do they do it? By Skype, or is it a chat room, or... Is it, how does this take place, this this participation?
Well, there is a very robust set of different learning management systems that are employed. When I worked across the street at Miami-Dade County Public Schools, we used a product that came from Lotus. I've used systems called WebCT, Blackboard. These are all large-scale software implementations that are specifically designed for the delivery of education online and for the communications, the grade books, and all of these other things to be available just as they would be in a normal on-site setting.
I see. How does the cost for online education compare to going to the college?
The cost is the same. The main difference is you won't be driving to get there. You may not have to have a babysitter to get to the course. There's one slight difference with us. The state of Florida does allow a distance learning fee to be charged, and this is part of defraying the cost of online instruction. And in our case at Broward, we're one of the lowest. We charge $9 a credit compared to many other colleges that are double or triple that amount. So we do have a slight increment to the base cost, but other than that, the students are paying exactly the same fees.
Per credit hour.
Correct.
Do you think, I'll ask you, Tom, do you think a degree from an online institution has the same gravitas or the same cachet as a degree from a college that you attend?
In the case of many institutions, there's an opportunity to do both online and face-to-face. So there's real no differentiation on a diploma, on a transcript. We have many Broward students who do 50% of their degree online and 50% face-to-face. Personally, I don't feel that schools who are dedicated to online are seen any less than schools that have a ground campus or mm-hmm. face-to-face classes. It's serving different audiences and serving the needs of the students who cannot come to campus.
Right.
Renee Law, tell us more about the career and technical education that you're responsible for.
So we have over 100 programs at the college, from Associate of Science to technical certificates. And what we do to create or to identify new programs is we review and scan the local labor market information. And this would be for the metropolitan area, which is from Palm Beach down to Miami-Dade, looking at what are the job opportunities that are going to exist for our students at the end of the day. And really, that's where career and technical education comes from, is helping those students get the skills and the training and the knowledge and the expertise they need. But at the end of the day, it's about getting them into jobs that they are going to be able to sustain their lifestyle and take care of their families, etc. So we interact a lot with the corporate partnerships that we have, getting information or feedback from them about the programs that we offer. So we have the current programs, and we review those programs on an annual basis, looking at, you know, how our student learning outcomes, what the students are learning in those programs, are tying to what the employers need. And the employers provide us feedback to let us know if certain things no longer need to be in the program or not.
We're speaking with folks from Broward College Online. Dr. David Shulman is the campus president. Renee Law, district director of career and technical education. Dr. Tom Ayers is associate dean of business administration and information technology. And we'll be right back on Topical Currents.
Past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We resume with Dr. David Shulman, Renee Law, and Dr. Thomas Ayers. We're talking about Broward College and its online programs. Tell me, what about fast-track programs for students who really want to, they need a certain course and they need it now? How does that work?
Well, I'd be happy to talk to that and mention that we are one of the few community colleges, state colleges in the country that is currently offering a competency-based program. And the meaning of competency-based program is you can come in with prior experience, you can challenge the coursework through assessments, and you can actually accelerate and get through the course a lot quicker. We also do offer many 8-week programs, and we have programs that also look at prior learning experience and give students other ways that they can accelerate their completion. But the short terms, the competency-based approach, and also being able to use prior experience to clap out or to find other alternate ways of reducing the course load are ways that.
But an example in a specific profession.
Okay. Well, let's say I've been an accountant for 25 years, and I decide, you know what, I want to go back to college. It would be great if I could go back, get into a program with accounting and say, you know what, I've been doing this for 30 years. I don't need to sit here for 16 weeks. I can challenge this and show you that I am competent in what you're teaching in that course. And if that's the case, then that's an example of how you could get through and accelerate your completion.
Renee, you've mentioned certificates many times, and Tom, certification training. How, what can a certificate do? Can it accomplish just what a degree does? I mean, in many cases?
So it's a technical certificate is a shorter grouping of classes that build into a larger degree. So we have technical certificates anywhere from 12 credits all the way up to 48 credits. And a traditional or a standard Associate of Science degree is going to be about 60 credits. So it's getting you on a pathway to completion. And that's really the end goal of the game, right?
So, is to get the degree.
Right. Okay. So it helps them to build, basically. It's like a stepladder. So maybe you can only commit to taking 12 credits. You haven't been in school for a long time. So you're thinking, oh, I'm going to go to the classroom. These people aren't going to look like me. I'm going to be the oldest person in the room. And that's not actually, you know, our student body is very diverse. And so it gives them, it gives individuals a little bit of a success measure. And then, you know, they've completed 12 credits. They think, oh, you know, if I just took 6 more credits, they could possibly be eligible for another technical certificate. And now they're already halfway to completing a degree. So it helps them build within their degree, as well as helping them from an employment standpoint, that if you're going to your employer and you're telling them, you know, I've got this business specialist technical certificate,
right,
and it tells the employer kind of what you know, and they can support you for future growth in terms of getting your degree, or they know that you are able to do X, Y, and Z from their perspective as their employer. The other thing I was gonna bring up was, David was talking about the accelerated options, and so another point to that is that we do recognize industry certifications. So in the example of IT, it could be that you have some kind of industry certification like C++, and you come to the college and you're able to show that you have the knowledge of C++, and we can award credits for those kind of things. So lots of people have industry certifications, especially in the IT area as well as the business industry.
Perhaps all of you can address this in a little bit. What is the ideal student for online education? I'm sure it probably takes some maturity. And for people who are getting into this and thinking, oh, this is going to be a cakewalk because it's online and I can kind of breeze through things, it's not the case. Address that.
Sure. There is no quick way to success. And if there was, we'd all be getting out of school by the age of 10 because we don't like it typically. So there is learning that has to go on. And so that's something that really the student has to realize, that although it's online and it's flexible, there is a body of content that you want to learn, and you do want to learn it because that is, you're going to college to learn things, to get a degree that is meaningful. So it's really important the student realizes that. And the other side is that there is a lot of inner strength that somebody needs to be able to discipline themselves, because some people may have the experience where they want to sit in a classroom, they need to have somebody standing over
maybe
them.
Maybe taking attendance.
Right, or structure.
Well, we have structure and we have attendance, but you're remembering we have flexibility as well. So within that week when you're covering these things you're going to be doing, you may think, I really just do not feel like doing any work. And obviously the consequence of that would not be a good one. So you do have to have motivation. But I would like to think that with our faculty and our training, we also have the other side of that, which is we have great faculty who can deal with a variety of different students and help them all to be successful.
Do these students tend to be a little bit older?
I don't know what tend to be, because it's pretty much the same age distribution as all of the other students we have at the college. The only thing I would add...
I was thinking the people who've been working a number of years and want to go back to school, as Renee was talking about.
Yeah, but those are also part of our regular student body as well. It's just sometimes when you talk about college and university, you kind of think of that fresh-faced freshman going to college, and they're still there. Just there's a larger quantity
next year of
what we all have to do in the current times, which is we have to go back, we have to learn new things, new skills, and so on.
Tom, I want to talk about, you've developed and implemented two new Associate of Science degrees in IT, project management, and cybersecurity. So we talked a lot about it before the show. Does that exist, cybersecurity? Is that something that you can actually teach?
Well, yes, it exists, and it is something you could teach, but you have to be vigilant at it. What's happening is folks are trying to figure out ways to penetrate systems, to get into data, to find information, and our programs are designed to help students understand what's going on, what people are trying to do, and the things that our students can do to stop it or to at least minimize it.
Do you have to, in order to be successful in cybersecurity, I would think you have to be a good hacker.
Yes, and what our program actually has is a number of courses called ethical hacking.
Aha.
So we have to teach the skills that the bad guys have so that the good guys know how to stop them.
Where does most of the hacking come from? You were saying it was in countries that are not being monitored or not within our...
Actually, it can come from anywhere.
Right.
It can come from anywhere. We have various levels of hacking that we have to worry about. Obviously, there's international incidents that we've heard about in the news. There are local and national concerns. Large companies are big targets. And it could be as small as a high schooler trying to change their grade. So school systems are vulnerable. Everybody's vulnerable, and hackers can come from all places, all walks of life.
And it's not just always money. As you say, it could be just changing a grade, but sometimes it's to hold a company hostage for what?
Well, what happens is there's many different things. There are some hackers who just do it for the glory of being the first one to be able to hack a system. There are other folks who may be out to make a profit and could hold a company hostage, saying that, you know, we found this vulnerability, and if you want me to help you fix it, you can pay me to do that, or I'll let everybody know about it.
And often I would think they can come from within a company who have access to everything.
Yeah. You have to be comprehensive in any security program. So there are systems, but one of the major vulnerabilities you have are individuals. So individuals on the inside can be one of your biggest threats.
Perhaps we have potential students listening who'd like to learn more. If you'd like to learn more about Broward College Online, give us a call at 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576.
Or perhaps you are already a Broward College student online. 1-800-743-9576. You can email us, radio@wlrn.org. Here's a question maybe for you, Renee, that Heather has written. My question is that studies show that as many as 80% of American workforce is unhappy working in the job field in college. Wait. Let's see. Would Broward College pair with outside partners to get students to be more passionate about their chosen field of study?
So we do that. We work with, as I was talking about earlier, our corporate partnerships, and we do training for companies that have identified a need internally. It could be for a group of students, for a group of employees that would end up being our students. But we, Broward College, can deliver training on site, so we can come to a business, as well as going out to a business and letting the employees know about programs that we offer through the college. And through tuition reimbursement, the employees may be able to get the employer to help them go back to school in their chosen area of study.
How about some examples of businesses that have come for that support?
So we work with a lot of companies in Broward specifically, but we have a partnership with City Furniture, where we're looking at providing IT training for their employees. Mm-hmm. They're going from an old legacy system to a new system, and they need their employees to be upskilled to understand, you know, how these systems are going to coexist for a time period. Mm-hmm. We also have done leadership training for employers locally. That we have a facility that is a ropes facility, Tiger Tail Lake Center, and employers come out there and do leadership training with their executive teams, as well as their staff, talking about communication skills. So lots of different employers we've worked with in the Broward area.
And David, did you want to add something to that?
I would also add, because I wasn't sure about how that question was phrased. Sounded like 80% of people may be dissatisfied with what they're doing.
Right.
And I was just going to add that part of the way we onboard, whether it's the online or on campus or blended at Broward College, is we do offer career exploration and career services. And then through Renee's area, also ways that students can use that information to determine what career pathway best serves their needs and
we'll make them happy.
And try to make them happy.
There is a tool that's available to anyone within the community. So if you go to www.broward.edu and you go choose your career pathway, and you'll see a number of different pathways listed there. If you choose a pathway you're interested in, we have something called Career Coach. And it's just a quick assessment. There's a short version and a long version. You can answer 6 questions. It gives you an idea of, you know, Bonnie, you selected these things, so you might be interested in these areas. And then it ties those areas to the programs that Broward College offers, as well as to the labor market. So showing you, okay, Bonnie, you had selected these. You look like you're probably interested in arts, humanities, communication design. Maybe film production might be a program of choice for you. These are the open positions that are available and how much they pay.
Great. I saw there's also a survey on that website for potential online students to see if that really is the way you should go for your education.
We're speaking with Dr. David Shulman, Renee Law, and Dr. Tom Ayers from Broward College Online. Another short break. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman, and Dr. David Shulman, Renee Law, Dr. Thomas Ayers. We're talking about Broward College Online. Again, if you have a question or comment, that's easy enough. 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-9576. Or email, that's radio@wlrn.org. radio@wlrn.org.
David, would you say there are some disadvantages to online education in terms of socialization and cultural, political issues, or, you know, people getting, I'm thinking of, you know, students getting together for a common cause, things that happened on a campus that wouldn't happen online?
There could well be. With our students, we deal with working adults. It's a commuter college. They pack up, they go home after class. So it's a slightly different experience. I will say that one of the projects we have this year is we are specifically building an online community site, which will be for our online students based on whatever content area they're in, where they'll have more of the student life experience that they would otherwise. But for us as a workforce-related organization, trying to get people into jobs versus the full college experience, I'd say it's less noticeable.
And most of the subjects seem to be science and technology.
Right.
But what about other liberal programs? Can I take humanities, say, online?
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can do your associate's degree and you can major in an area that would then take you into a state college where you could continue your studies in those particular fields. But yes, our associate's degree is very broad and has a wide range of ways that you can specialize.
And you can attain that online?
For the most part, yes. There are some degrees that you may not be able to, but for the most part, yes.
I was thinking of, when we were talking, Renee, that if a student, but it's, we're talking about a different group of students, I'm thinking, do you lose something when you're focused solely on choosing a career path where you're going to be able to sustain yourself? Do you lose something in the humanities or in the arts?
So I think it's important to make the point that we offer different types of programs, and one of those that you were just asking about is the Associate in Arts program, which is the general program that most people are more knowledgeable about in terms of they take these courses that are general education, the majority of them are general education courses, and their goal is to then transfer on to the higher level institution, a university, whether that be U of M, FAU, FIU, FSU, what have you. So they're transferring on to get their bachelor's degree. Those programs are, you know, your humanities and everything is heavy in those.
I see.
Then we have the Associate in Applied Science and the Associate in Science. Those programs are specifically created to be much more technically heavy, but there is a general education component to them. The students have to meet 18 credits of general education. And then those programs do as well transfer on into the college's Bachelor's of Applied Science programs, right, as well as at a state university. So they would then just take more of the general education courses after they've completed their more technical work.
Pablo wants to know how online classes deal with lab time and hands-on training for technical programs.
In our technical programs, what we have is a virtual environment. And as you know, more and more, all of our systems are in the cloud and in virtual environments. So students get hands-on practice through the virtual activities.
I would say, though, I would just add that you are not going to come to Brad College and do an online automotive degree.
Yeah.
So we do realize we have...
There are limitations.
We have some limits.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay.
Oh, 20 years ago, people have heard this conversation. Well, our virtual climate, and it's in the cloud. And
well, it's 20 years later, Joe.
Yep. Let's take a few phone calls. We've got Brett in Fort Lauderdale. Hey there.
Hey, how's it going? I have a question for the panel. I graduated from college about 3 years ago, and I remember on my first semester, my professor told us that a lot of what we're going to learn in college is going to be done outside the classroom. And looking back, I think there's something very true to that. The aspect of social, cultural intelligence, I think, is really important. And even networking. The first job that I got out of college was because I met someone my freshman year whose dad happened to work for a certain company who was able to get an employment with. So I was just hoping that the panel could comment towards that aspect of online college.
Okay, thanks, Brent.
Sure, I'll take a stab at that. One of the things that we have to be very careful to do with our students is to make sure that they're aware of local opportunities that they can attend. And they can attend these networking events in their local community if they don't happen to be in ours. We're lucky at Broward that we have a lot of students who both attend the ground campuses and our online campus, so they take advantage of those social opportunities. However, if there's a group meeting on cybersecurity in your local community, attending that and getting those opportunities that you would have had in the classroom.
And you were going to add something, each of you? Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to agree with that and say, as I did before, that's one of the reasons we're building a robust virtual community site, is to really fill in some of the patches that may still exist there.
And
I think an important point to what the caller was saying is, you know, that outside of the classroom learning experience is on-the-job training that you're always going to have. So your education gets you so far, right? And then you learn specifically what that job entails. You learn skills about networking and all of those kind of things. But through the career centers offered at the college, we do offer internships that through our programs. And the career centers also help with students to get skills that they need to be able to network, etc.
And next caller from Plantation, this is Pedram, is that correct? Hi.
Yes, that's correct.
Hi.
Hi. I guess I was interested more in the cybersecurity or aspects of education that are well suited to being taught online. You know, I already work in my industry. I have over 15 years experience in architecting online and internet applications. But, you know, cybersecurity is specifically a continuing field, and I think more and more it's becoming multidisciplinary, where, you know, I believe somebody earlier said that 80% of your cybersecurity problems come from on-site personnel. So, you know, in areas like that, it would make a lot more sense to look at not so much the cybersecurity aspect of it, but the data science aspect of it, and how hands-on you could be bridging that set of skills and data so that you can come up with some kind of a reasonable assessment of a situation.
Tom?
Well, what our vision and our focus is to create a true sense of a career pathway for students. We have associate degrees, which are entry-level positions, and we are preparing our students to be aware of security at that entry level. We're also in the process of developing bachelor's degrees that go along with that so that students can go into the workforce, continue their education, and be prepared to handle the security maybe at a management level. So we're taking a vision and a focus of a true career pathway.
What is the Willis Holcomb Center?
The Willis Holcomb Center is not a full campus. Like, we have the online campus, we have North Campus, Central Campus, and we have South Campus. We also have smaller centers that offer limited programs, and the center that is in downtown Fort Lauderdale is called the Willis Holcomb Center, after our former president, and it's focuses mainly on architecture and graphic design, as well as offering some broad general education courses.
We're speaking with Dr. David Shulman, Renee Law, and Dr. Tom Ayers from Broward College Online. Another short break, and we'll return.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We resume our conversation about Broward College Online with our panel. Let's go to the phones. Martha in Pembroke Pines. Hi.
Hi. My question was regarding the comments on internships and outside the classroom experiences, whether that classroom is online or on campus or both. 2 years ago, my daughter went to the Career Center at BC, and we discovered that the internships were very limited, and they were encouraging the students to look for their own internships at that time. We have 33 or so municipalities in Broward County who might be interested in using interns, as well as Broward County. I wondered if there's any efforts underway to expand the internships available to these students.
Okay, Martha. Renee, do you want to respond?
Absolutely. Martha, you hit on a good point, which is we are always looking for opportunities to expand our internships. We have, as I stated earlier, over 100 different programs at the college, from the technical certificates all the way through to the associate degrees, as well as those in the AA program. So a lot of our internships are through the corporate relationships that we develop while we're out in the community, that being if it's administrators, faculty, staff, etc. Students are able to identify their own internships and come to a career center to let someone know that, you know, they've been in touch with X company and they have been offered the opportunity to do an internship there. And there's a process that the company has to go through to be able to have the internship count for credit and for a student to be able to get paid for that internship. But yes, we are always looking for opportunities to expand the internships that we're offering at the college.
But has there been any outreach to these local government entities?
I'm not sure at this point, but, you know, if you want to provide your contact information, I would gladly reach out to you and talk about that if you work at one of those local government entities.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Martha. Wilton wants to know, he said, I was under the impression that the cost of a four-year degree online was $10,000. Why, if the cost of online delivery is less, are credit hours the same as on campus?
Well, I would question whether the online delivery costs are that less. But
okay.
Before I mention that, I'll also say that the state has a role in how we set tuition, so we don't arbitrarily change tuition. We do have much of the same infrastructure. We have offices that people work in. We have faculty who teach to a unionized contract and get paid a certain amount. We have a certain amount we pay our adjunct faculty, and that's uniform across the college. So we don't save bunches of money in that respect. We do, however, have a savings that we now offer to non-resident students. And due to some legislative changes, we are able to knock about a third of the cost off for students who are not Florida residents. So that makes a substantial difference. But other than that, we pretty much play by the same set of rules that the on-campus courses are delivered by. We do have some advantages with our online program. We have many courses that have no textbook requirement because the content is built straight into the course.
So you save the cost of...
Yeah, so that in itself knocks over $1,000 a year off what a student would be paying. We also have the accelerated competency-based program, which provides an opportunity to accelerate completion, to challenge courses, and in some cases get extremely low cost per credit when those courses are challenged.
What is your current online enrollment?
We sell about, and when I say sell, I'm talking about tickets to take an online class, about 50,000 annually. Each term, we are dealing with roughly 10,000 unique students, but they take multiple courses.
Right.
So the number to focus on is the number of seats we sell, and that's 50,000 enrollments annually. Which
What's the most popular course?
The most popular courses, as you may imagine,
technology.
Not technology. It's Composition 1, which is the course that every student has to
English
take.
English Composition.
Mm-hmm. English Composition. So Renee was talking about some of the technical programs where you have a reduced amount of general education credit. Well, Composition 1 is, you're not going to get away from that one. You're going to take it. So it's the basic composition, the basic math courses, some of the basic science courses that all students need as part of their degree program.
And of your student body, what percentage is from Florida, out of Florida, and international?
We have about 80% of our students are Floridians, and then we have them speckled throughout the United States. We also support, we have a very large international program at Broward College, so we support some of the courses that are not readily available for those students through online education, and we have a few other smatterings of international students.
And let's take some more callers. Adam in Fort Lauderdale, you're up. Hi.
Hi. Thank you, panel, for taking my call this afternoon. I am actually a graduate of BC. I used it as a stepping stone to go to a state university and graduated with a four-year degree from there. But what my question is, I noticed at my time, both taking online and in-person courses, that some of the courses that other individuals in my program had struggled with are some of the upper-level math courses. And I'm curious as to how those have translated into online success, what you've done to kind of help students along through that process in upper-level mathematics courses.
Well, one of the biggest things we've done is invested in adaptive technology. So, for example, if you take those courses now, you'll be using a tool called Alex, which is an artificial intelligent tool. And what Alex does, it'll assess every student individually and create personalized learning paths that will help the student focus on what they really need help with. So that's certainly one very concrete way of dealing with that.
Okay. Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much. That answered my question. Have a great afternoon.
Renee, what are the most viable jobs other than jobs in technology? Are there any?
So we've added about 14 new programs this year, and one of the ones that's big is business analytics. It doesn't get away from technology, but it is more in the business realm of looking at statistics, assessing what's going on with data, and then making informed decisions from that. So a lot of people call big data. And so we started a new business analytics program that started this fall.
How about the service industry?
In terms of the service industry, we don't have any new programs for the service. I mean, we have a medical lab technology, which is the health science. It's a service, kind of. So we have a new medical lab technology program that is geared toward helping individuals or helping companies from the medical lab side. The other thing that we do have a new program in film production technology. So that's kind of the creative realm, and we have a new associate in science in that.
Okay, and Ivan says that he thinks that there is a total difference with online degrees, that they're not looked at the same as degrees from a college, that it's almost as if the online degree is easier and therefore not as worthy. I will say, however, that an online degree from a traditional college or university is much more valuable than a degree from an online school like Phoenix. So
but your degrees don't have that specified on the paper, does it?
No. Most colleges and universities that have online programs do not specify, and they typically have a mixture of how the students take the courses.
Right. Okay.
But I will say that there is an element in there that should be considered, and there have been a lot of abuses, particularly in the private for-profit area with online schools, which has tainted all of us badly. So I won't totally ignore that, but I will say that we have very robust courses. They meet the same learning outcome expectations. They have the same faculty. And as far as the degree goes, the degree is a degree from Broward College, or it's a degree from the University of Florida, and whoever picks that up is not going to know the manner that you took the course.
Let's turn the tables. How about special differences for faculty being online teaching versus in person?
Well, I'll talk a little bit to that. We have a training program that we put all our faculty through before they teach for the first time. And then we assign them a mentor in their first course. And what we're looking for is to teach faculty the difference between being in the front of the classroom and giving out the information.
Somebody's so used to having instant response.
Right. Well, we have a 24-hour requirement that faculty get back to students. A lot of faculty get back to students much quicker than that. But what it is learning how to communicate. And communicate offline and online so that students' questions are answered and students don't feel like they're out there all alone, as David had alluded to earlier.
Well, we have more callers and more emailers, but we have no more time. So we'll have to, maybe we can give out some contact information. Dr. David Shulman, thank you for joining us. He's the campus president of Broward College Online and the Willis Holcomb Center. Thank you. Renee Law is the District Director of Career and Technical Education at Broward College.
Thank you.
And Dr. Tom Ayers is Associate Dean of Business Administration and Information Technology for Broward College Online and the Willis Holcomb Center. Do you have contact information? Is it just broward.edu?
I would say the best email would be elearning, that's one word, at broward.edu.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you all so much, all of you.
Thank
you. Pleasure.
Thank you.
And that wraps up today's edition. Our producer is Richard Ives. Technical direction from online producer Paul Leary. We have free audio archives and downloads at our website. That's WLRN.org. And, of course, more information and links at the Topical Currents Facebook page. Also photos. And tune in tomorrow for a program about the acclaimed Night City Challenge, which looks for urban life innovation and sustainability. We'll also hear about a winning grant entry from Miami called The Floating Science Barge, and more Linda Gastneimer's Food and Dining We'll hear from Chef Ann Willen, author of Secrets from the La Varenne Kitchen. Online French, anyone? Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, thanks for listening. Stay tuned for Here and Now, next from NPR News.